How y'all doing out there? Merry Christmas to y'all. I'm under an awful lot of pressure tonight. I don't think I've ever been under this much pressure. Stacy cooked candy for 2 weeks and she bought me a new suit. This is my Christmas present. It's a size 28, I think. I don't know. But anyway, it's a lot of pressure. I want to go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, I think it is. If I can find it, it's in here. I'm a welder by trade, but I don't think you get a better time to preach than Christmas. You know, it's amazing to me. I used to, you know, not like the Christmas lights because, you know, Santa Claus is, they make a big deal out of Santa and everything. But, you know, Christmas is kind of like, it's kind of like what Jesus did in the world. You know, it transforms everything. They put lights everywhere. I mean, Jesus is a light. And they, everybody's out buying stuff for somebody else, and it just changes the world. It really does. In chapter 4, it says here, verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." You know, that was 4,000 years after the world began. Adam and Eve sinned, I guess, right off the bat. And God said, you know, I'm going to send a Redeemer. He told them, 4,000 years later, Jesus is born into the world. You know, I live under the restraints of time, but God don't. And He's got purposes that He's going to fulfill in this world, and He's going to use whoever He needs to use, but He's going to do what He's going to do when He's going to do it, and it's going to be the right time. That's the thing. And, I just struggle with that. You know, we got a job to do on this earth, and the devil, he wants to keep us from the truth. He wants to keep us from our job. And I got a calf loss. Yesterday we worked with calves. And I get up all night long, cows bawling. And I get up and I let the cow out, let her walk all around. She can't find her calf. Finally, I follow her till I'm exhausted. I go get the horse up. I ain't rode this horse for 6 months. And I'm going to find this calf if it kills me and the horse both. You know, and I ride this horse in the mud. And this horse, I take it over to Linda's house. And the calves are out. They've got into Linda's place, the gate's open. And they're tearing up the neighbor's yard, you know. And I got one job, and that's to get the calves back into the field. And that horse is the guy doing it. He's scared of every sack. He's scared of every car. He's scared of everything. All he sees is just, oh no. You know, we got to get the cattle in, and that's our job. And I just wanted to tell him, you know, stupid. You know, we got a job here. Let's just do the job. Well, I did tell him, but he didn't listen. But anyway, we got the job done, but it took a whole lot of patience on my part, I'll tell you. And the horse is still alive. But, you know, I think that's the way we are. We got one job. Let's love God, put Him first, and love our neighbor like we love ourselves. And I'm going to tell y'all something. I know what I want for Christmas. I want everything I want. You know, I want to have it. I want to have peace. I want to enjoy the things that I have. I want somebody that cares enough about me that they're going to know what I want without me even telling them. That's what I want. I want somebody that's known me since I was born and that's not ever going to forget me or leave me. I want somebody that knows my whole family. I want somebody that's going to give me these things. I want somebody that's going to teach me how to do it the right way. That's what I want. And you know what? I want them to teach me because they love me, not because they're smarter than I am. Not because I'm an idiot and they have to teach me. I want them to teach me because they love me. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know? You know what I want more than anything? I want to know they ain't going to leave me. I mean, that's what I want. I want to know when I lay down at night and I screwed up everything I touched that they ain't going to leave me by myself. And I want to know that they got the strength and the perseverance and the power to do these things. I want to know they ain't going to get sick or fall asleep or go on a journey. I want to know that they're going to be there. That's what I want for Christmas. Was I got all those things. He's in the form of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
And you know, there's a world full of people out there that don't have that.
Amen. Right.
And you can get them anything you want to get them. But if they don't come to know the same Jesus that I know, then the Bible says they're lost.
Right.
The Bible says they're without hope. Jesus is our hope. Well, I don't want to be without hope. I want to be with Him all the time. You know, I don't think that we have any idea the gift that God gave us when He sent us His Son.
Amen.
You know, we've got to just keep studying and learning and studying and learning until we get to know the fullness, the height, the depth, the breadth, all those things. And the Bible says none of that can separate us from Him. I want to know those things. I want to know whenever I go through a bad strip and I really mess up. Even though I messed up, but it's going to work out for my good. Ain't that crazy to know that all things work together for our good? You know, the Bible says that if you want to get to heaven, you got to believe in Jesus. Jesus said, "Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish." But you know, I'm afraid that we live in a world full of people. Some of them believe in Him, some don't. But they don't know Him the way they need to get by and have an abundant life. That's what's missing.
Right.
You know, the thing that gets me, I want to read y'all. Just everything that you want to find is in this Bible. As soon as I have a thought, I can just say, "Oh, it's in the Bible." What I want to focus on tonight is the limit, the small amount of time that we operate under. I mean, I've done seen my son and my brother pass on. I've seen my neighbors and my grandparents. And, you know, we're all going to die. And we don't have a lot of time. My sister's sister-in-law just passed away 2 days ago. You know, I mean, she's gone. And she was a sweet woman, but, you know, her time on this earth is done. She's never going to do anything else here. The Bible says there is no work nor device in the grave where she's going. This woman was born in a time whenever the Jews were slaves, I reckon. And, you know, I'm sure she felt powerless. She was a beautiful woman. But here she is. She's under, you know. And this guy comes to her uncle that raised her. And he told her that she had to talk to the king. And then he told her, he said, "Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knowest whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Who knows? I know. That's what she's come here for. Was we're here under divine appointment. There ain't no question that every one of y'all is here for a reason. In God's timing. Y'all are supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be here. When He called me to preach, all I could think about is they receive a stricter condemnation. Be not many teachers, because they're going to receive a stricter judgment. All I think about is negative stuff. It's ridiculous how the devil and works with my nature. But you know, the truth of the matter is, I'm 53 years old, I'm running out of time, and these people perishing. That's all there is to it. And, you know, I see something over here that scares me, and I worry about that. And you know, I got You know, there's so many things to worry about. You can't count them. The truth of it is, we're here and people are perishing. I want to read you what Jesus told this woman. I want y'all to just... This Bible is so awesome. It's just like God gave us a little picture. Just of that. You know, we don't have it. The Bible says if it was written, everything that Jesus said... Well, you all have heard the song. There ain't enough books to write what Jesus did while He was here. But here's a little picture of what Jesus did. The Bible says that He must needs go through Samaria. Jesus knew there was a woman there that needed to be saved. You know, this is God right here. We're supposed to be priests of God. We got Him living in our hearts. He wants to work through us to do these things right here. And it says He must needs go through Samaria. And then Jesus goes this place where He wouldn't normally go. And the Bible says that Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey. I love that. He lived like we live. This man was tired. He was going about helping people. I always picture him out there with his 12 disciples putting up hay before it rained and helping a guy get his cattle out of the neighbor's yard and just going through this. I mean, I know he healed people, but he came to work. He came to show us what love is. What he did is he provided the things that people needed at the time they needed it with his own hands. It's an awesome picture. And it says, Jesus, then cometh a woman to Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. This man was tired. He was resting. He needed to take a break. And you know what? Ain't nothing to fill him up like doing his Father's business. He come here to do. He was what they call zealous for good works. That's what he wants us to be. Says, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. They was not considered on the same level with the Jews. So she was surprised that he talked to her. He talked to her because she was lost. He knew she was looking for answers, and he had them. He had the answers. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If this world only knew who he was, they'd be asking him, and he'd be giving it. That's all it is. Jesus said, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find. You know, we live in a world full of people that think that they can get their satisfaction from water or pop or beer in the case of this country. But you know, they ain't no satisfaction in that. You take a drink, you're going to need another one. I like sweet tea. I can take a drink of sweet tea, boys, it don't ever end. I can drink sweet tea till I bloat. It's just good. But it don't satisfy. It's never going to be enough. Jesus. Well, let me just go and read this. The woman said unto him, sir, you don't got nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? See, she's got these people she looked up to from way long ago, Moses and Jacob. She's talking to God. Yeah, he is greater than all those. He's the greatest. He's the King of Kings. Jesus answered and said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in a well, be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. This man's Jesus is having a conversation with this woman, and her sin's included in it. You see, we live in a world where people make fun of sin, they mock sin, they don't think it's nothing. Truth of it is, God's interested in our sin just as much as He is in our good works. He's interested in every little facet of our life. You know, a person that don't get rid of his sin, he's a blind man wandering around falling in the ditch is what he is. Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship thy Father. You worship you know not what." You don't know what you're doing, is what he said. He said, "We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is." We live in that hour right here, right now. And now is. "When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He told her, you know, this ain't something you just do in a little fairy tale. You got to know the truth. I am the truth, what he told Pilate. Truth is, we got to know Him. If we do know Him, then we got our Christmas made, boys. I'm telling you, wherever you are, your Christmas is made. But there's a world full of people out there that's going to have a miserable Christmas. They're going to be trying to get their peace from everywhere in the world. I think the biggest problem we got in this country right now is pills and heroin. But it doesn't matter. New cars is the same thing. Don't make any difference. Truth of the matter is, what people are searching for is peace. What they're searching for is somebody that really cares. It's what they're searching for. You can't trust nobody on this earth. The Bible says that our hearts are deceitful. We can't even trust ourselves. I make up my mind, I'm going to be this and do this, and I go off and I don't do it. You all can't trust me. I'm a human. I'm going to tell you something. You can trust in Jesus.
Amen.
He ain't going to steer you wrong. He ain't going to put you out there in the cold and leave you. You know, I was riding that horse around looking for that calf. I was looking. And I just started praying. You know, Lord, I can't preach with this cow bawling. I can't sleep with this cow bawling. She's a beautiful cow. She's got a beautiful calf, and she's suffering. And I thought to myself, you know, you've looked everywhere around here. This calf ain't here. He is not here. If he was dead, she would be with him. She wouldn't be wandering around mooing. And I get to thinking, you know what, maybe we left that calf at the barn up there where we worked him. I mean, how could you leave a calf, you know? You know what? I got in my little Jeep and I went up the road and went, there's a little calf bawling all night long. Took him home, put him with his mama, it all ended well. Now there's people that's not going to be saved. Jesus wept over them. He said, "Oh, how often would I have gathered you under my wings like a chicken would gather her babies, but you would not." Now we can't get everybody saved. But the thing is, you see, God, He weeps over those that don't get saved. And that's what He wants us to do. The Bible says, "Let this mind of Christ be in you." And that's what we're supposed to be working for. And, you know, I'm afraid we spend too much time working for the meat that perishes. It doesn't matter what our job is. Wherever it is, it puts us in contact with people that are lost. And the focus should be on the people. I grew up in that shop making money, boys, working, and people come in there and they get in my way. And I get them done and I get them out. And now they come in there and I take them and show them my cows. And you know, there's always something they want to talk about. And it's a glorious time I have with those people. And it's just because, it's not because I care. It's because I'm trying to be what God wants me to be. And it just naturally inclines you to start caring. And you know what? When you start caring, people start caring back. The truth of the matter is, there's life in this word right here. There's life in this book. And there's life in a relationship with Jesus. And He's the only one that can satisfy. He's the only one. And you know, I live in this world full of people that know they're going to heaven, and I watch their lives and I don't believe it. I don't think they know Jesus. You know, we have got to somehow or another reach people with Jesus. We've got to let them know what He hates, what He loves, and we've got to let Him know about His love and about His mercy and His forgiveness and His kindness. The Bible says that God delights in love and kindness. He delights in mercy. All He wants us is a relationship with us. You know, He showed how much He cared on Christmas morning. And it ain't never ended. God loves us. And His heart breaks when He can't find that little calf. Some of them ain't going to come. But I'm going to tell you something. God's going to do what He can. And He's going to save those. I don't understand all this, I'll just tell you. But the bottom line is, God wants us to weep for the lost, and He wants us to do everything we can to show them love. The only way in this world that we can give anybody an inkling of who Jesus is to live Him in ourselves. That's the only way. You know what? I think the only way we can do that is pray more and read this book more. That's all we can do. You know what? I go to jail and preach to them people, and I think to myself, them people ain't going to listen. The devil tells me they ain't going to listen. And the older I get, the more I think, you know what? This is divine. This is a divine. I have this little window. You know what? Just a little bit of something that I say, the Holy Spirit might come on them boys, and some of them might be in heaven forever. And when they do, it ain't all this other stuff not going to mount a whole lot. You know, the treasures in heaven, I think, are the people. When Paul wrote the Philippians, he said, my dearly beloved, my joy and my crown. He was speaking to those people that he had led to Jesus. I think the crown that we're going to find in heaven will be our friends. The people that we led to heaven. But you know, the big thing is, you know, I don't think so much about heaven is the hell that people live on this earth. You know, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. I've struggled with that a lot. You know, a man that draws close to God, and he's got God in his heart, and he's at peace with God, he's got a little piece of heaven in him.
Amen.
And that's what's missing in this world. That's why we're fighting with each other. And that's why everybody's pointing the finger like it says in Isaiah. God wants us to look in our heart, and He wants to help us. And He wants to bring us to that place that we live in heaven, whether we're in jail or whether we're out of jail. Paul showed us all that. I'll tell you what, I couldn't ask for a better Christmas than this. My cows with my calf. It's all good. And my sermon's over. I sure appreciate y'all coming.